I had two guys. I won't mention their names. I told them a while ago that it was hard to get them together so that I could get a picture of them. They were blank at the time. And there it is. Look at that. Now see, if you know who that is, tell me who it is, okay? I told Gary and Ken it was them, but it could be anybody else. You know, we live in a world that sometimes is very negative. We hear news, that's what news is. It is negative stuff. It is things that goes bad in the world, and they mention that. Who was murdered, who died, who this, who that, you know, what crimes were committed, and all that seems to be the news. And I'm thrilled for it. I like the news. I like to know what's going on around me and know what's coming up, because it allows you the opportunity to be able to talk with other people about something that they're interested in, maybe. But I like that. Now, Linda doesn't like the news. She doesn't really want it. She said, it's just all bad. Well, it is. But I'm thrilled that it's all bad, because when they start reporting good things on the television, it kind of worries me that that's a strange thing. The good things that we do I think that should be talked about a great deal, but the good things that are done in this world need to be talked about more, but we don't. But we need to understand how wonderful it is that we have the church to encourage us. And that's something that we've got to have. How wonderful it is. Listen to this passage, if you would, in Romans 16 and verse 3. It said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I gave thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their home. Now, you can go on and read the rest of that passage there, rest of that chapter, and you'll see that a great deal, that whole chapter is just greetings to other people about what they've done in the church and about who they are. And in a sense, he's patting them on the back. And we need to do that with people. We need to pat people on the back. We need to let people know, appreciate what you're doing. I want to encourage in what you're doing. We need to do that. You know, isn't it a shame that you have ball teams that get together? In a ball game the other night, the poor little boy in that last run he did, nobody tackled him except his own players, and then they jumped on top of him. And I'm beginning to think, were they happy or were they mad? I couldn't figure that out. But you have that. And the whole, you know, people are jumping up. And if a guy knocks a home run, the whole dugout comes out. And they'll shake him and shake his hand, pat him on the back, hit him on the head, slap him on the rump. And I thought about that a while ago. I'm not talking about slapping people on the rump at church, okay? That's out. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not, you know, I want you to encourage people, but don't do that part, okay? I thought there'll be somebody that might take that to the extreme. I know Brother H.A. Dixon, when I was at Fried Hardeman, he said up there, talked about the holy kiss, and he said the reason we don't do that in the church, there'd be some men that would want to push that too far. And so we don't want to do that. But we need to, these people are trying to encourage others, because you want that momentum to keep going. You want that the people to keep on working and not to stop. And so you want to encourage them every way you can to be able to do the work that needs to be done. And we need to do that. We need to be people that encourage each other, and we give each other pats on the back. We have got to do that, because if we don't do that, we're going to lose a great deal. Parents need to encourage their children. We understand that. Teachers need to encourage their students. And sometimes I've seen teachers that were so discouraged about their job, and understand that. But let me tell you something. If you get to the point where you can't encourage kids, quit and go home. You got to encourage other people. If you don't do that, then you've missed the boat. Because people need that encouragement. We need those pats on the back our own selves. Now, we may say we don't, but we really do. And we really like that. We really enjoy that. Now, look at this, if you would. We need more of this going on in the church. We need more encouragement within the church. Because we're people that we're standing, as we mentioned this morning, different than the world. Now, if you're different than the world sometimes is not going to like you. And they may not encourage you in what you're trying to do. But at church, you need to be encouraged. Now, sometimes, some churches just don't encourage people like they need to. But we need to learn to encourage other people and make them feel good about what they're doing. Now, we have people that teach Bible classes. Have you told your Bible school teacher or your children's or whoever, have you told them, "I appreciate the work you do"? It's not just the work that goes on in the class, it's the preparation that goes on before that. And many of them have, they're just as busy as everybody else. They've got a lot to do just like everybody else, but they take their time to be able to teach and to help young people to understand more about the gospel, or older people too. Let them know you appreciate the class. Participate, encourage them in that. That's one way to encourage them. That's one way to pat them on the back, is you're prepared for the Bible class too. You're ready for that. You're ready to help people to see how important it is. And so we need to be those people that we're going to encourage others at church, and we're going to let people know about that. Let them know about the work that needs to be done. You don't have to know a whole lot to be able to be an encourager. I don't know why more people don't take that job. It's easier than teaching. It's easier than preaching. It's easier than being an elder or deacon. So why not take that job? It's the least work of all, but it's one of the most fulfilling jobs you'll ever have. Encourage people in that. And I know I'm saying this to people who are very good encouragers, because I get a lot of encouragement in the sermons I preach. You say, it was short. Not many, but every once in a while, you know. Or, boy, that was a long sermon. That doesn't bother me. I'm going to preach till I get through anyhow. But we need to encourage people and let people know about that. But you are good about encouraging me, and I think you are about encouraging other people in the things that they're doing. Because sometimes people that are trying to teach a class or do something like that, they're not sure they're getting their job done like they want to. And sometimes they're not happy with the quality of work that they're doing. And so we need to encourage them in that they'll go on and do that. We need to encourage our song leaders. We need to encourage the young people. We need to encourage everybody, no matter who they are. We need to be people that we're going to encourage people no matter what goes on in life. We're going to encourage the young, and we're going to encourage the old, because they need that. And we need to be willing to do that. And again, please understand, you don't have to know all the Bible. You don't know how to say all the books of the Bible in order. You don't need to know how to all the judges in order. That's a great thing if you want to know those things. But please understand, encouraging people takes just a little bit of knowledge. And we can do that. And every one of us can do that. Why don't we take on that as our job, to encourage other people? And so we're going to keep on encouraging those young, those that are young, those that are old. Even old people like to get a pat on the back every once in a while. They don't pat them real hard. You might knock us over. But pat them on the back anyhow and let them know you appreciate what they're doing. We need that encouragement. We need that in every way. Now, I want to mention to you a man that I'm sure all of you know, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. In Acts, the 4th chapter, and verse 36, this is his name, Josie. That's his real name. But now, when he became a Christian, they gave him another name, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement. Wonder how he got the name. Wonder if he was a real negative fellow. Wonder if he never said, "Oh, you did a great job. Can I help you? Can I do something for you? Can I encourage you in some way?" That's what he did. That's the reason he got the name, because that's what he was trying to do, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. So here he was, the person that was going to encourage others in the work that they were doing. And we know, I guess we could go back over and see the Apostle Paul when he came in. He went over to encourage him. He lifted his hand up. He tried to help him in every way he could, and a lot of other people probably turned their back on him, but he was that encourager. And so he encouraged Paul in what he was trying to do and what he was trying to accomplish. And they went together on several occasions to be able to preach the gospel together, encouraging each other. One was not over the other. Barnabas was not that kind of fella. He was not the one that said, "Hey, listen, I'm the one in charge here. I'm going to tell you what to do." But he said, "Let's get this job done." And he worked with a young man that needed encouraging, and he encouraged him. He encouraged him in every way that he could so that he could be the best person that he could be. In Acts, the 14th chapter, we can look at verse 20 through 22 and see there, this was not a thing that he just did one time, but this is a way of life for him. This is the way he lived his life, is encouraging other people. We need to do that. And we need to do it at church. But you know, wouldn't it be good if we could encourage people outside the church and what they were doing, if they were doing what's right? to let them know, you know, hey, I appreciate what you're trying to do. And be a person of encouragement, that you encourage people to be happy, to enjoy themselves. Because a lot of people in this old world are unhappy. You see people that are working at maybe convenience stores or Hardee's or McDonald's or someplace like that, and they're rushed and running and doing all this stuff. It's good that they get to smile. And so let's encourage them in what they're trying to do. Let's tell them, you know, you passed the best cream I've ever seen. You tell them that, and they'll look at you like you're crazy, but they smile, and that's okay. Let them know that you appreciate what they're trying to do. But especially, we need that encouragement to come and to be a part of the church. So encourage other people in what they're trying to do. Encourage other people and let them know that you appreciate what they're trying to accomplish. Encourage your wife. Encourage your children. Encourage everybody you run into. Let them know. And it'll lift their day. It may even make their whole day if you do it good and you do a really good job of it. And so we need to try to do that. It may feel strange to you to try to encourage people because maybe you're not used to doing that. But because it feels strange does not mean that it's not something you should not do. But you should do it. You should encourage. And it will become easier as you do it. It'll become easier and easier and easier to do. And let me tell you something. It'll make people feel good. And you know what? It's kind of like a mirror. It'll come back at you. You look in a mirror and you see that image of yourself. Now, you may not like it. You may like it. I don't know. But you see that image because it comes back at you. What we're doing is trying to encourage other people. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll be encouraged by it. In fact, you may be more encouraged by it than even the people you're trying to encourage. Be willing to do that. Be willing to lift people up. Be willing to help people to see that you're a Christian and so you're going to encourage other people. But now, look at this. Peter and Paul were two people who encouraged each other. And they encouraged each other in the works that they were trying to do. Their relationship was not always maybe what it needed to be because Paul had to deal with Peter and something that Peter did that was wrong, but they dealt with it. It doesn't seem like it destroyed their relationship with each other. They kept on serving. They kept on doing God's will. They just wanted to help each other to do what needed to be done. Now, I put up two passages here. In Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, we've already read that a while ago, where here's this husband and wife, and Paul is encouraging them in the work that they try to do. Encouraging them and saying, look what you've done. That not only have you encouraged me and helped me and you encourage each other, but you've encouraged all of the Gentile churches. And encourage and be thankful for the church that's meeting in their home. Boy, he's given an encouragement there. An encouragement to these two people in what they've done. And we could go back and see their life and see what they accomplished in their life. They were people who were continually encouraging others. In fact, I remember a young preacher that they encouraged too, to do what was right, to live right. They tried to help him. They tried to help Paul. They tried to help others. They were willing to use themselves in the kingdom of God. And that's part of what we're talking about. Using ourselves in the kingdom of God. Finding something that we can do. Finding something that we can accomplish. And one of the things that we can do is we can encourage other people. We can let other people know that we appreciate what they're trying to do. Let them know that we want to help them in any way we can. Then Paul in Ephesians 1 and verse 15 says this, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. He said, I'm thanking other people for what you're doing. I'm letting other people know about what you're doing. It's encouraging them. And that's what he's doing here. He's using the idea of helping other people to encourage others to be able to work more in the church and to be a greater part of the church. He's trying to help those people to realize there are things that you can do. And he says, do not cease. I don't cease giving thanks for you, making mentions of you in my prayers. He said, has anybody ever said I'm praying for you? And it might be good for us to do that. Just tell people I'm praying for you. I'm praying that the Lord will help you. I'm praying that the Lord will do great things with you. And I appreciate what you're trying to do. So let's pray for those people. He said, I make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory, that he might be able to see these things and know these things, and other people might be able to. We could go on to Colossians 1, We can see in 1 Peter 1, and we can see in a lot of other passages where Paul kind of introduces this idea of thanking these people for the work that they're doing and encouraging them. Now you just think about it. What if they were sitting there together as they worship one day and they said, hey, we got a new letter from Paul. Oh, well, let's read that thing. And they read it and somebody there was talked about. Priscilla and Aquila, Timothy, Barnabas, somebody was talked about there. And you think, wow, he sees what I'm doing. He knows what I'm doing. That gives us an encouragement too. So let's encourage people. In fact, you don't have to be personally with people to encourage them. You can write a letter to them. And you know, if you're modern enough, you could write it on Facebook and let people know you appreciate them and appreciate what they're trying to do. And we need to do that. We need to let people know in some way that we appreciate what they're trying to do and we appreciate their stand for things that are good and right. And we appreciate their life. And so this is part of what we've got to be willing to do is to show this and let people know about this. All right, now, look at this. Shouldn't we be the people that we're going to be willing to be that kind of a Christian that's going to encourage other people? And this is really a part of what of Christianity, what we should be doing. Many Christians feel that their work in the church is not that great. They may not teach a class, they may not preach, they may not do this or that, they may not wait on the Lord's table. And so, you know, and I've had people tell me, if I leave, nobody's going to miss me. Well, what we need to do is to make sure that doesn't happen. If you see a person that's been out for a couple of weeks, call them. Just give them a call. Say, hey, I missed you. Now, don't call them and say, where have you been? That's none of your business. That's none of your business where they've been. Your business is that you have missed them. And so let them know that you've missed them. Let them know that they're important, that they'll be missed in there. And most of us sit at the same seat all the time anyhow, and you can tell when people are out. I mean, I could just sit up here and just kind of tell you where everybody's at. Some of you I can tell because of where your pillow is, okay? It's a dead giveaway. But look around you and see those people around you and let them know that you're concerned about them and that you miss them. And sometimes we wait a little too long about recognizing that people are not here. And we need to do better in that. We need to do better in that. But we need to be people that we encourage other people in every way. We need to encourage other people because the body is made up of different parts. And if we're not careful, we look at ourselves and say, well, my part's not worth much, but it is. Now, listen at Romans 12, if you would. In Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, listen to what Paul said here. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't think that you're the greatest thing in the world, but to think soberly as God has dealt with each one his measure of faith. Each one of us has our strengths and have our weaknesses. And what we have to do is to understand, I'm not always going to be strong, but hopefully you're going to be strong and you can help me. And so here he's saying, don't think so much of yourself that you don't need help. All of us need help. All of us need encouragement, no matter who we are. And so we need to learn how to give that. But think soberly as God has dealt with each one according to their measure of faith. For as we have many members in the body, but all members do not have the same function. They're different. We're not all the same. And so that's a good thing. Because it's the body that's functioning here. And so here he wants us to understand this. And so he says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're different, but we're all working together. It's kind of like a puzzle. The boys and I used to love to put puzzles together. And you search for that piece that just fits there. And it fits together. The church is a big puzzle. And what we're doing is all the people are coming together to fit together to make a beautiful picture for God and also for the world, that the world might be able to see it, that the world might be able to know what it is. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, we're different, okay? Let us then, if it's prophecy, then you prophesy. If it's preaching, then you preach, you teach. You do it according to your faith. For our ministry, we teach in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation. You see, he puts this idea of encouraging other people up there with teaching and preaching and all those things. And we don't think about that. We don't think about how great that is to encourage other people. We don't think about how wonderful that is. But look at the list that he puts here. Those of faith, those of preaching, those of teaching, those of spreading God's word, and he said encouragement in the same voice there. Those things are equal. They're working together to be able to do that. And all of us can do that. We can learn how to encourage others and how to exhort others. He said here in liberality, you be able to do that. If you can give, you give. If you can use yourself, you use yourself. And you continue to do that. And he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And here he's got mercy up there. We might have to talk about mercy sometime in the near future too. And be those people of mercy to others. We've got to be people who understand how important it is to do this. And one of the reasons we need to do this is because of this idea of encouragement, is helping other people to overcome the sin in their life. All of us have made mistakes. If you haven't made a mistake, you hadn't done anything. You're going to make mistakes. We understand that. You're going to do things that are maybe wrong, maybe not wrong, just maybe embarrassing to you. But don't worry about it. There'll be somebody else that will do the same thing or worse. That's just the way it is. I know we were talking one time and about a young man at the worship service. Well, he wasn't that young either. But he was doing the Lord's Supper. And he got the communion tray. And he was walking over. And he tripped on something and just dumped that whole tray out on the floor, you know. And he just stood there and looked at it. He didn't know what to do. And so we talked about it later. I said, you know what you do when that happens? He said, no. What do I do? I said, just look at it and say, uh-oh, and go on. Because that's all you can do. It's no big deal. It's just, I mean, if you hadn't ever spilt anything, you've never held anything. And we've all done that. And so just don't, you know, those things are just things that happen. And so we go through it. And in fact, we can encourage them, say, you know, I don't know anybody that could have made a greater mistake than you just made, and then laugh about it. Now, you got to be good friends to do that. Or maybe you can go up to them and say, you know, let me tell you what I did one time. Let me tell you what mistake I made. I was doing the Lord's Supper one day and I grabbed up the wrong thing. I grabbed up the communion, the juice before I grabbed up the bread. And those guys were going, hey, it's the wrong one, it's the wrong one. And I thought, oh, wow, that was not a good thing to do, was it? But it was just, you know, it was an honest mistake. And it happens. And some people were upset about it. Some people were encouraged about it. And so we need to be encouragers. It's not easy. It's easy to tell people you did something wrong, but it's really good to say you did something wrong. But you know, I've done that too, and I've made it right. Listen to this. In Ephesians 4 and verse 32, he says here, forgiving one another. This is a part of that encouragement. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. He's saying, I want you to encourage other people even when they've sinned. You let them know, you know, I know you've did what was wrong. I'm not trying to say it was right. But thank you for making it right with God. Thank you for admitting to other people the mistake that you've made so that it can help them to see I can come and confess my sins just like you did. And sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes people are afraid they hadn't seen anybody respond in years, and so nobody's going to respond because what are we going to do? What'll happen? Well, let me tell you something. What'll happen here in this congregation is people will come up and hug you, and they'll forgive you. And if they don't, then they need to come forward too. We need that encouragement, and we need to encourage other people, even when they have sinned, to do what's right. Do it with kindness. Do it with lifting them up so that they can know that. And help them to be able to be people that understand that. Do this with humility. Be humble about it. We've got to have that humility about it. Philippians says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition, through selfish conceit. You know, I'm over you. Smarter than you. I'm greater than you. Don't ever do that, he says, because that's not what you need to do. Don't act like that, but let this thing be in you, and you consider other people. It's what he says in Philippians, the first chapter, verses 2 through 4. Let you look at other people as better than you are, not as lower than you are. That should not be. But you look at those people and you let them know that they're as good or better than you. And you treat them that way. That's a good way to encourage people. To let them know we're all the same. We're not different. There's no big and no little, but we're all on the same plane. We're all trying to serve God. We're all trying to do God's will. And we all make mistakes. And so we got to get those things straightened out. And we're going to accomplish those things. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Look to help others in the things that they're trying to do in their life. Encourage them in that. Some young men lead singing, and I'm thrilled. Our young men come up and they lead a song, and you're so good about encouraging them in that, letting them know, hey, you did a great job. You're doing a good thing. Appreciate you for doing that. Keep it up. You don't know how great that is for a young person to receive that kind of encouragement and that kind of help. Do you see people acting like this in the church today? Maybe you need to go up and encourage them as they encourage others. Let them know, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I've seen it. I know about it. That's what Paul was doing in writing these letters. He wanted them to be encouraged, but he wanted other people to see that they were encouraged in that too. He wanted them to know about that. We need to be people who recognize that. Now, this is the way we need to be. Yellow-faced and smiling. No, we need to be encouraging other people. Now, I know not everything is going to be encouraging, but we need to try to look for things where we can encourage other people. Look for things where we can help other people to be better and to be greater. If you're not a Christian, you need to be encouraged to know that if you were to respond to the invitation tonight, we're going to have people that are going to let you know that they love you and that they care for you. And you're going to know that the baptistry water is also cold tonight. So if you're going to be baptized tonight, it's going to get cold, okay? What difference does it make? How wonderful it is that people can obey the gospel at any time. I've heard of people breaking the ice in a creek to be baptized. I've heard people, and I've baptized people in cold, cold water. And I baptize them in hot water too. Because you never know about baptistries what they're going to do. And they'll go out at the most inopportune times. But we want to tell you tonight, if you decide to become a Christian, we're going to love you. And we're going to care for you. And we're going to try to help you to be the best Christian you can be. Now, what we ask of you is that you live a faithful life, but you also encourage us to try to do better too, because we're all in this together. I don't care if you're baptized tonight and you encourage people. I don't care if you've been baptized 50 years ago and you encourage. That's what we're supposed to do. We're all on the same level, so let's be willing to do that. We that have heard and have believed according to what Acts 2 and verse 38 has to say, and we have been immersed in water. We've been washed and we've been cleansed. Let's encourage people to be faithful. Let's encourage people to keep on serving God and doing the will of God and never ever to stop. And let's have happiness in our lives. We need to be people who we enjoy our Christianity. And if you don't enjoy it, other people are not going to like it. They're not going to like it either. So do your Christianity in such a way that you can encourage other people to do what's right and to live right. Help them to be able to do that. I hope tonight that this lesson has been encouraging to you. And I hope that all the lessons that we teach here have been encouraging in such a way as to help people to stay away from sin, come to God, serve God, and smile while you're doing it. How wonderful it is that we've got a God that loves us. A God that will forgive us. A God that will blot all our sins out. How great it is that we have a God like that. And He continues that even today. I don't care what you've done, God will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will make you whole. Now, we have the opportunity to serve God and to give God a rejoicing time in heaven. When sinners respond, and they repent, it is a joy in heaven because God knows that these people are trying to serve Him and trying to do His will. You may not be doing all you can do, but do what you can do. And do it with joy and with happiness. Please now respond if you need to.